Welcome to the JD Show. We talk on this show about wealth. Either it is your spiritual wealth, either it is your social emotional wealth, your intellectual wealth, your financial wealth, or your personal physical wealth, which is your health and well-being. Today, we're going to talk about financial wealth, really about business. Here is my observation: is there's two ways when you look at, for example, increasing your wealth. There's two ways. One is your real estate investments, and second is your equity investments. Now, equity means really investing in a business. Either you're investing in someone else's business or you invest in your own business. We're going to talk about today how most businesses, and this is something that I've observed from my own peer network, is that people study success a lot, but it's equally important to study failure. Because you can look at someone else's failure and say, well, this didn't work. Would this work for me? The answer could be a no, a yes, depending on the timing, strategy, and lots of other factors. But today, we are actually going to talk purely about failures, where people actually go wrong badly, like really massively. And some of these are really, really simple, but some are a bit more, you know, sort of intricate, complicated. And I'm going to share. I've actually started sharing that in the last couple of videos as well, where I said, you know, a lot of people start a business just purely because they want to make money, and they don't start a business because there's actually a problem in the market. They come to solve, or there's a challenge in the market they come to solve. And there's just not enough research to back it up, you know. And that's where most businesses actually go wrong. I think most businesses fail. Most. And I would say a bigger percentage, just purely because there's no need in the market. And that is the biggest one. Actually, I've made a list and I wanted to kind of share that with you. Research is one. Positioning is very, very important, because when you do your research, you can actually look at the positioning and say, okay, this is the positioning I'm going to take. In most cases, where you start your business, as in your positioning, you don't stay there. You keep pivoting and changing and moving your positioning as the market shows you what it needs, instead of what you are trying to provide in the first place. That's something, again, a lot of people get wrong, and I'm going to talk about this. Now, cash flow is another one. I come across literally so many businesses, and I mean, the likes of Toys R Us, with literally the year that they went bankrupt, I think it was like 5 years ago, they did $5 billion just in online sales. They still went bankrupt just purely because just cash flow issues. I mean, irrespective of the size of business you might be at or you're looking to start, always be careful with your cash flow. One thing that I come across a lot, I just find it funny, is people start a business, they well overestimate what they can achieve in a year, and they well underestimate what they can achieve in 10 years. You're not going to build a business in 1 year. You're just not going to. The average is, if you go and read some stats online, the average time to build a business is 3 years. And that's when you get to a point where you can actually make enough money to kind of the salary that maybe you had in your job or whatever. But if you want to scale your business, it takes anywhere between 1 to sort of 5 and 10 years, depending on the business, depending on your strategy, depending on, you know, the kind of money you bring in into the picture, your own money, your investors' money, venture capital, whatever that might be, depends on lots of factors. Let's say we're going to talk about tech startups, because that's where our focus is. But cash flow is just really one that most people massively get wrong. And we are very, very careful when we're running a business, because there might be lots of assets behind the scene, but you don't want to necessarily sell assets to improve your cash flow. You always want to be careful and look at your cash flow and say, what can I afford to sort of pay for, and so on and so forth. Either it is your research, or it is paying for or hiring more people, or whatever it is that you need money for. Always, always be careful with your cash flow, because that's where most companies go bankrupt. Now, another one is poor product. Now, imagine, I'll give you an example. Let's say you maybe sell this pen. I don't know, I'm just looking at different things. But let's say you sell this pen, right? And you bring a new pen in the market, and this pen is maybe slightly better than the one your competition is selling. Think from the consumer's perspective to why would they buy your pen? If it's slightly better, I'm not going to waste my energy as a consumer to look for a very slightly better option. Unless it is massively a better product, like so better, so much so revolutionary, or even evolutionary in a way, but it has to be way, way better. It can't be slightly better, because you're just not going to persuade a consumer to change for a slightly better version. So your product has to be massively better. Again, something that most people get wrong when they start a business. Another one is below average team. I mean, this is very, very big. A lot of people start hiring. They have got the product fit right. They have got, you know, some of the other factors right. They have the cash flow ready. They have a good product in place. But then they start hiring below average people. It's just not going to help you. If you are building a below average team, even if it's an amazing product you have, you're just going to fail. Because remember, the person who approaches your potential customer, potential client, and the person that's working for you is below average, the impression that person is going to create about your product without them using it is just going to be below average. So you got to be able to create a team that is either above average or exceptionally an amazing team. Obviously, creating an amazing team is not necessarily easy unless you're backed up by, you know, lots and lots of money. But at least your focus needs to be sort of above average and different skill sets. Different skill sets. Don't just bring, you know, one skill set into the picture. You need people with different skill sets into the picture. Someone who can persuade, someone who can sell, someone who can market well, someone who's good at operations, someone who's just managing and leading the team effectively, and so on and so forth. Someone who's good at research. You know, the research person doesn't have to be good at sales. The salesperson doesn't have to be good at persuasion. Sorry, the salesperson doesn't have to be good at research and so on and so forth. So bringing different skill sets is vital. I mean, it's almost like building a sports team, a football team or whatever. You need different skill sets. And that's, again, something that most people get wrong. Don't have a competitive spirit. In fact, let me share this about myself. When I started in business, I mean, I started when I was very young. I was like 14 years old and I'm 43, so almost nearly 30 years now. But I did not have a competitive spirit. I mean, I came across competition. I just used to think, oh, shit, you know what? There's competition. How am I going to sell my product? That was in my early 20s. But when I got to my 30s and I started thinking, no, you need to compete because there is absolutely no way. I mean, you might have an amazing product and a blue ocean. If you haven't read the book Blue Ocean Strategy, please go and read. But if you have an amazing product that's the right market fit, people really need your product. But at the same time, like, literally, you do not have the competitive spirit in the sense of, let's say you launch your product 6 months later, someone comes and copies it, and you're not prepared to compete, you're not going to win in business. You really need to have a very, very competitive spirit. And now, over a period of time with my life experience, I've become really, really competitive. Like, I could be in front of my competition, and I can almost guarantee I will beat them just purely because of the knowledge and the experience that I've gained. And you really need to learn how to beat your competition in different ways. Find a competitive edge, slightly different. Someone is going to come and copy your product. Either it's going to happen in 6 months or it's going to happen in 6 or 7 years. I mean, Amazon was amazing. You know, when they launched, you know, I heard one of the interviews that Jeff Bezos did, and he said, you know, we were very lucky. No one really came along as a competition for 7 years. So they had a straight run of 7 years. But you're not going to get that chance. Not everyone does. In most cases, someone launches a product, maximum that I've seen is about 6 months. Right? Literally, 6 months later, someone is going to copy you. Now, it's your job as a leader to create a competitive spirit within your team. Okay? And not just within yourself, but within your team as well. Pricing and cost issues. I mean, again, this is a major, major issue where I think most brick and mortar businesses suffer with cost and pricing issues where they're trying to survive. They have to pay taxes, they have to pay increased hiring costs, they have to pay increased, you know, material costs or whatever that might be, right? Depending on the kind of business you might be in. But this is, again, something that most people get massively wrong. There's something called front-end and back-end strategy, and that's something you need to focus on. A lot of people kind of create one product and they think they're going to, you know, sort of become successful with it. The answer is absolutely not. You need to learn front-end, back-end strategy. I'm actually going to do a separate session on this, on front-end, back-end strategy. But if you have a clear front-end, back-end, even if your front-end product is not bringing you any profit, your back-end profit could potentially bring you in a profit. For example, if you look at cars, you go and buy a car these days, the car companies don't actually make a profit by selling your car. They make profit by servicing your car and by selling you the spare parts, right? That's their strategy. If you look at a hotel, hotels don't make money from selling your room. They make money by selling you drinks, by their restaurant, and a bunch of other things that they provide behind the scene. They may decorate your room if you have your anniversary. They might bring you a champagne or whatever. They make money on the back-end products that they bring into the picture. Even banqueting halls, for example, they bring it, but they don't, most hotels these days do not make money from the front-end rooms that they sell in the first place. So that's something, again, like I said, I'm going to actually do a complete session on that. You can watch pricing, cost issues, major. People mostly get it wrong. Lack of marketing and business model knowledge. I mean, this is so big. The number of people I come across who have amazing ideas, like they have amazing ideas, but they just do not have the knowledge to market their product well, okay? And at the same time, the business model knowledge. I mean, you gotta be able to create some sort of subscription-based model. I mean, the way the market is going at the moment, this was not the case maybe 100 years ago, but these days, it's all about creating a SaaS business model, which is, well, SaaS as in software, but even if you have a brick and mortar business, you must be able to create a subscription model where they are subscribing and then you know the money is going to come in on a regular basis rather than you running on a treadmill and trying to sell them every month. It needs to be a subscription-based model. So lack of business models is major. Lack of marketing, I mean, the number of people, like I said, I come across who have amazing ideas, they just don't know how to market their product well, is unbelievable. Remember, the two people, most important people in a business, one is who creates the product, that is your research and development guy, and the second is one who can sell, right? Which is normally your CEO or your founder or whatever. I mean, if you can't sell, you want to find someone who can sell it for you. But you really need to have these two skills where one is creating the product and one is actually selling the product. And at the back of that, you start to create a team. But really, marketing and selling is that's the 50% of your picture, right? And if you really are struggling with that, you need to find someone who can actually help you with that. Wrong timing. Timing, I'm actually going to give you two examples. Facebook was not the first social media, right? And if you look at before that, there was, I think, quite a few of them actually that even I have used personally. But Facebook came along and right timing. And at the same time, right execution and strategy backed up by lots of money. Perfect combination. But that's like a really good example of right timing. I'll give you another example. This is actually a real story about a woman who came from Russia to UK. She started a recruitment agency. This is back in 1960s. And she really failed badly. Really failed badly. So she went back to Russia. She came back 5 years later back to UK. And she started same recruitment agency again 5 years later. And her mom said to her, you've gone crazy. How can you start a business which you really failed at 5 years ago and you're starting again now? And she says, just watch me. And she actually built a multi-million pound recruitment agency. Just timing. She had started at the wrong time. She learned from the bad experience. And then she came at the time that she knew was right, doing exactly the same thing. Again, at the back of this, I'd like to share this something that's really important. A lot of people go and take these trainings, right? They pay for trainings, they pay tens of thousands, and they learn from someone who's sharing how they became successful, right? At their business. What's being shared is content. What's missing is the context part of it. Now, let's say someone is learning, they go and now take this content, piece of content, and now apply it in their context, and it doesn't work. And now they start thinking, oh, the training didn't work, or I did not become successful because I took these trainings. You didn't become successful mainly because you took someone else's content, applied it in your context. Now it's not working. Here is what you can do. The aim of taking trainings is for you to learn, but you need to be creative enough to now take this content and apply it in your context in your own creative way. Don't copy it. And that's something, again, a lot of people get massively wrong. Context changes. Person changes. I mean, you know, if you are leading the show, you are the leader, you need to have that charisma, you need to build that persuasion skills, you need to be more creative with your problems, right? This is all something that you bring along. Stakeholder management. I mean, all of these skills that you bring, you know, being able to hire the right team, all of these skills you need to learn as a leader to be able to create an amazing business. You're just not going to be able to do that. If you just take someone else's content, apply exactly the same way in your business, you're probably highly likely going to fail. Okay? Again, that's something that a lot of people get wrong. Lose focus when it gets boring, this is something that I personally struggle with. When I start a product line or a service line, and after a year or two, you know, it's bringing in a little bit of money, but it's now started to get boring. But as a leader, and Slack said, this is something that I struggle with, but as a leader, we really need to focus on the product and consistently pay attention to it and keep sort of within on the, you know, stay on top of the sales. And if you get bored with a product and you move on to the next product, you're just not going to become successful. Like I said, this is something I struggle with and I'm working on it. But at the same time, this is something I come across a lot of people and they just massively get it wrong. They jump from one product to the other and so on and so forth. And they just never ever scale a product to a multi-million pound company in the first place. Bad stakeholder management. I mean, if you are the leader, main job of a leader is stakeholder management. You know, you are leading a team. You're leading investors, you're leading a marketing team, you're leading an operations team, you're leading a research team, so on and so forth. You're leading a sales team in the first place. I'm actually going to do a separate session on, you know, selling, but not selling really, in a sense. It's a session I'd like to do. I mean, a lot of people get this massively wrong. They want to sell. They want to just go and convince someone, persuade someone to buy. No. There is actually a way where you can sell without selling, right? So it becomes a win-win situation, cliche word, but it becomes a win-win situation for the buyer as well as the seller. Again, a session I'm going to do, but as a leader, stakeholder management, again, a lot of people get wrong. And if as a leader, you've not learned to coach people, you've not learned to mentor people, if you've not learned to be creative with your own problems, you're just not going to be able to teach others, right? This is something, again, you need to learn yourself so you can actually coach the team further or mentor your team in the first place. And no passion. I mean, if you listen to most, Steve Jobs, a great example is, he said, if you're not passionate about your product, it's just not going to happen for you. And I know a lot of people say, you know, passion has nothing to do with business. That could be right in a brick and mortar business. You know, if you're building a real estate portfolio, you don't have passion for it, not a problem. It's a brick and mortar business, right? You go, you find deals, you go and do it. Some people even enjoy that process. That's fine. If you don't enjoy that process, that's no problem at all. But if you are launching a creative product in the market, you've got to have passion. It's just not going to work if you don't have passion for your own product. I mean, when I'm pitching a product, I mean, I'm always enthusiastic about my product. Remember, when you're pitching your product and you have enthusiasm, enthusiasm is contagious, right? You're pitching someone, you pass that enthusiasm to another person, and that's when they buy from you. So it's very, very important to have passion, especially when it comes to creative products, I may say so. Location, common sense. A lot of people get this wrong. If you are selling food and you're sitting at a really remote T-junction corner, and this is something I came across, in fact, in my own personal life, and someone was buying a retail shop in a really bad corner, and I was telling him, don't buy, he's just not going to make money. Eventually, a few years later, the guy didn't make any money, sold the shop. I mean, common sense. If you're going to sell a hammer and nail, right, you make sure you sell it where the construction is happening or where the traders are walking around. You don't want to go and sell it in a hardcore residential area. You're just not going to scale the business, right? Common sense. So just making sure that you pick the right location is very, very important. Pivot gone wrong, as well as sunk cost fallacy. It's a video that I did the other day where I talked about positioning. I mean, positioning is vital. Blue ocean. I mean, you've got to find a product or a service which people really need. Again, a lot of people get this massively wrong. No interest from investors due to various reasons. Again, this is a major one. I have come across ideas being pitched to me, and I'm looking at the product and thinking, look, you have a great product. But when I'm comparing as an investor with other products in the market, this your product is just not attractive to me as an investor. And again, you don't want to necessarily work on a product or a service which is not going to be sort of interested to investors. And like I said, I come across a lot of people who pitch these ideas, and you got to think from an investor's perspective, thinking, okay, what if this investor invests in my product in comparison to some of the other products that he's looking at, and your product could be maybe just not interesting product in the first place. So you may want to work on that. There are ways to make a product interesting as well, but you know, that's something you really want to kind of reflect back on and work on your product or whatever, or maybe even change the product depending on what is it that you're working on. Legal challenges. Major example is Uber, right? Uber did really, really well. You know, they took a brick and mortar product, brought the technology, all of a sudden they have scaled massively. You know, their marketing was amazing. I mean, I was looking at the business model when they were scaling. I mean, their marketing was probably the best that I've ever seen in this world when they were scaling. But they really struggled with their legal challenges. I mean, they're going through legal challenges in unbelievable number of countries. So in some countries, they still continue to operate while they are being fined, while in other countries, they've been completely banned. So again, your business model is something that you want to kind of reflect back on and work towards. Again, I have come across many businesses who actually get shut down just purely because they can't deal with legal challenges at the back of that. Another one is not using the network and not listening to advisors around you. I mean, as a leader, I have come across leaders who don't listen. And unfortunately, your business is not going to reach its full potential, and neither are you if you're just not going to listen to advisors around you, right? I use network and advisors not just to be able to get deals done and be able to generate more business and bring more value to everyone, the community, the network, and everyone, but I listen to everyone in the network, even those who come and criticize us, right? You know, there's a saying, and I think it was said by Winston Churchill, if I'm not wrong. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And you really want to listen to your critics, right? Really want to listen to them. I mean, critics are, you know, dreamers who couldn't achieve their dreams. I know that. But those are the same people you need closer to you to tell you what's going wrong in your business, right? So again, not using the network for generating business, bringing value to the community, and getting deals done and so on and so forth. There's loads of things you can do. So growing your network, I am very, very sort of focused on. But at the same time, I come across a lot of people who do not create communities around their business. Very, very important. Initially, it might take you sort of 3 to 6 months to be able to grow your community and not gain anything out of it. And then remember, when you create a community, the perspective really needs to be how can you serve more rather than get... It's not about what you are getting out of it. It's more about what you can give your community in the first place. And then eventually, at some point, you will start to get that back as well. But it's all about serving the community, but at the same time, listening to what the community is telling you regarding your product, regarding your service, and how you can change and pivot and bring the right positioning and maybe change the features within your business is vital. Again, something people massively get wrong. And the last one is burnout. Something that I have personally experienced where I was scaling a chauffeur company, and literally I got to a point where I was literally leading a team of like 47 drivers, and I was burning myself out because I was working crazy hours. Not something you want to do. It's not going to work for you. Best way is to balance your life. I know in business it's very difficult to balance, but at the same time, if you're not balancing, the likely is you're going to burn yourself out, and that means eventually it leads to health problems, you just have less passion for the business, and there's many other sort of negatives that come alongside with burning out. So you don't want to do that. You want to work balanced hours. You want to go out on your holidays. You want to spend time with your family, friends, you know, your loved ones. Keep it balanced. I mean, here is something that I there's lots of people talk about this, right? Gary V's and Grant Cardone's, and these guys are working 18, 20 hours a day. Stupid. I can tell you that. Because they will look back at their health and think, is it worth risking your health for money? The answer is no. The answer is absolutely no. So keeping a balanced life is very, very important. Like I said, even though this session of this podcast is about business, I'm actually going to talk about health massively. I am I'm very, very big on talking about health, because if you don't have health, no money in the world is going to help you. And that's not something where you want to be at. So focus on your health. So don't burn yourself out. Don't work 18 hours a day. Anywhere between 8 to 12 hours is more than enough. If you want to work 16 hours for a short period of time, 18 hours short period of time, that's absolutely fine, not a problem. You know, in business, sometimes you do have to do long hours, but you don't want to do that consistently for a longer period of time because that's what leads to burnout. So yeah, have an absolutely amazing day. I am going to continue doing these sessions on a regular basis so they start to help you. Have an amazing day, and I'll see you very, very soon.